Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to The Path to Healing here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I'm your host for the show. And we just want to thank you for joining us here on this cold Sunday morning. But we know that your heart is warm and prayerful, your home is warm, and those you know and love have heat and are doing well. On this show today, I want to briefly talk to you about anticipatory loss. I just want to wrap this portion up because there's some important things that I want to share with you that when you're dealing with grief and it's anticipated as to what is going to take place, there's some rules and some things that I just want to share with you to help you get through that feeling. Feeling of relief, one may feel quite fragile during the time period. You may feel more sensitive to noises or constantly worried about little things such as the phone ringing. This can bring a lot of panic. There's a lot of things, what we call triggers, that can set you off and cause your emotions to change. Due to these stressful circumstances, the death of a loved one may bring feeling of relief. You cared for them, you watched over them, you watched them go through pain, you may have administered medication, you may have had to clean them up or change a dressing or what have you, but relief oftentimes bring a lot of guilt. And we talk about guilt. What do you mean it brings a lot of guilt? Why are they going through this and I'm not? What are they dealing with and I'm not dealing with it? Why are they having these problems and I'm not having these problems? These are things that we have to deal with, but it's important to understand that feeling of relief do not change the deep love you have for the person. Your emotional status will not change because of what you're going. You're actually going through this with them. They are not by themselves. You are with them through this thick and thin. So a natural reaction is going to take place. You saw their suffering firsthand and understand that they no longer have to feel pain. These feelings are common and normal. And even in that, there is some sense of relief that they are not going through what they were going through before. There's some sense of things have changed as far as because of what they had to go through, and now they are transitioning. You have a sense of relief. You have a sense of no more pain, no more hospital, no more medication, no more needles, no more surgeries. Whatever they were going through is coming to an end. Yes, there is still hurt and pain because they're not going to be here. You're going to be without them. Because after a certain amount of time, you, even as a family member who's taking care of someone, there's a certain closeness that somebody else may not feel. So because you are there 24/7, because you are there answering their beck and call or what have you, looking out for them and looking after them, that there's I think there's an increase in loss. There are no rules with grief. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Grief is relentless. Grief shows up when it wants to. Grief doesn't care what time it is, who you're with, where you're at. It will come when it gets ready. It will land on you like a ton of bricks. I've been out having a good time with my wife, having dinner, laughing, joking. And all of a sudden, it just stops. And I can just break down and start crying. Because I always say, this is something my daughter would like. Oh, she likes seafood. She likes this. She likes that. Oh, she would like the decor of this restaurant. Anything can trigger your emotions to be in an uproar. Things to remember when coping with anticipatory grief. Grief before death is normal. It may feel wrong to be grieving before your loved one has died. It is important to know that it is extremely common and normal to be experiencing this because you're anticipating them not being here anymore. You're going through your mind everything that you did together, the happy times, the good times, the times when you sat there and laughed by the Christmas tree or you shared a birthday. All of these things are saying, this is not going to be happening anymore. How do I deal with this? How do I cope with this? Don't minimize how you're feeling. Even though your loved one is still alive, it is completely okay to acknowledge all that's going on in your life. You don't need to minimize your pain because your person is still here. Your emotions are going to overflow. You're going to run out the room in tears just because you're thinking about them not being here. You're thinking about what they're going through. You're thinking about the pain that you see on their face. Now, not all is like that, because I have heard and I have seen people transition peacefully. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of dealing with this. But as far as you are concerned, the person who looked after them, the person who watched over them, don't minimize your feelings. It hurts. It's painful. The grief is real. It's anticipatory. It's thereafter. You know, and I always say, especially when I have a funeral at the church or I'm doing a eulogy or speaking about someone, it's the times when everybody has gone. When people have gone home, people have flown back to where they live, they got on the train, they drove, and now you're in this house by yourself. And you may not be by yourself, but because you were the one who took care of that person, you may walk past the room and you may visualize them still laying there. Or the bed may be made up nice and neat and you're thinking about when they were there. These are natural feelings. Don't minimize how you're feeling. You have to deal with it. You have to work through it. So as we move on, now we have use your available support. When caregiving becomes the number one priority, oftentimes one can feel isolated and lonely. Don't feel guilty for reaching out for support. Your emotions are still running high. You need help. You need someone to talk to. After a day of watching over somebody whom you know is passing, is going to be transitioning, those emotions need to be dealt with. You need to be able to talk to someone who's going to listen to you and not just run off with advice and tell you what you need to do, this, that, and the third. You need someone that you can speak with. Communicating openly with your friends and family helps them to figure out how to help you. If you keep it bottled up inside, if you don't say anything to anybody, then it's going to be an issue, because when something does happen, you're going to explode and things are going to be said and done that you really didn't mean. You're doing this because of the feelings that you're, the emotions that you're having. Also, getting involved in support group can help provide a safe space and open up. To help you be able to talk. It can also help to meet people facing similar situations and emotions. Now, I found this to be a very big help, because it's hard for somebody to sit back and tell me of how to deal with losing a child and you have never lost one. Now, there's book knowledge. There's things that you can say, you know, to kind of help me along the way, but to get deep down into it, there is nothing that you can tell me about losing a child, that feeling or emotion, if you have never went through it. And I've had so many people come to our nonprofit, to our group, and say the same thing. I was part of this group, but they did not understand what I was going through because they've never been through it. To lose a child separates from everything else. My child should have buried me. I should not be burying my child. These are emotions and things that you deal with. You're not giving up. It is common to feel like you have given up when an illness progresses. If you are there for your loved one, you are not giving up. A lot of doctors will say, there's nothing else we can do. We've done all that we can. We've given them the maximum medication. The only thing that we can do right now is make them comfortable as they prepare to transition. That does not mean that you are giving up. You are still there. You're supporting them. You're caring for them. You're loving them. You're letting them know, hey, you are not alone. It is easy to feel grief when you've done, when you don't feel that there's a lot more to do. Focus on what you are doing during that time and know that just by you being there, you are truly helping the loved one. Some people just need to know, even in preparing to transition, that you are right there with them. You are walking this walk with them. You're holding your hand, their hand. You might sing to them. You might read to them. You're right there with them. So don't feel that you are doing nothing. Don't feel that you gave up on them simply because the doctor said there's not much time left. Continue to do what you're doing. Continue to talk to them. Continue to walk with them. Continue to hold their hand, sing to them, pray with them, whatever the case may be, whatever makes them feel comfortable, whatever makes them continue to feel that love and support as they prepare to transition or go through. This is all in a part of anticipatory grief. It's coming. Death is coming, but I'm still here. I'm going to remain here. Reflect on the time remaining. Think of things that bring you and your loved one joy. Though it may be challenging, it is possible to find meaningful ways to spend time. If they are willing, it may be beneficial to have conversations regarding life after them and how to fulfill their wishes. And that's key. Mom, Dad, so-and-so, what can I do for you to make you feel more comfortable? Hey, let's talk about Christmas last year. Let's talk about Thanksgiving last year and how all the family got together and Uncle Charles did something stupid, whatever the case may be. Something to put a smile on their face. Something to say, hey, I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten the things that we have done and the times that we have shared. You must take care of yourself to care for others. So many people have been, I've been up all night. I've been going back and forth to the hospital. I've been running errands. I've been taking care of this. I've been meeting with these people and that people. I've been signing paperwork. I've been talking to the pastors. I've been talking to the church. I've been talking to this person. And we're not taking time to make sure that we are healthy, that we are in a good place physically. It is so easy to put caring for yourself low on the priority list. It is crucial. It is of great importance, though, to check in with yourself before being able to help those around you. If you are not 100%, you are not going to be good for yourself, and you are not going to be good for the rest of the family. One of the things that I say is very important, even on an emotional side, if you are losing a child or you have lost a child, don't forget about their siblings. Don't forget about their brothers and sisters. They still need you. They need that love. They need that nurturing. They need that care. They need you to help them walk through this grief, whether it's anticipatory or has already happened. They need to know that you love them as much as you love the one that you lost. Self-care looks different for everyone, but it is important to find the things that fulfill you and to do them often. What makes you happy? What makes you smile? You have extended yourself tremendously. You have taken care of this person day and night. You've walked with this person. You've held their hand. You've wiped the tears from their eyes. You've cleaned them up. You have been right there. But I need to know, you need to know, what makes me happy? How can I rebound from this? How can I get through this and come out with a smile on my face? Or at least a different emotion. Caring for yourself is not selfish. When you care for yourself, it brightens your day. It makes you feel good about you and what you're doing. Consider counseling. Very important. It is normal to feel like counseling is only for the severe cases. This is not true. You may find it very helpful to share how you're feeling with an outside resource, someone who doesn't know your family or situation, but is just there to listen. Once again, be very careful. If you're going to seek counseling, seek someone who specializes in grief, someone who is there and understands the pain that you're feeling and that you're going through. It's important, you don't want to go see a dietary therapist or somebody who's going to help you with your weight and you're dealing with grief. So make sure whomever you speak to knows what they're talking about and can compare, can put things together in a prospect of understanding the grief that you're feeling. They know what you're going through. They understand. It is normal to feel relief. Don't assume. We all grieve differently. So it is important to know that your grief may not be what you originally anticipated. And that's okay. Be kind towards yourself and know that wherever you are on your grief journey, it is completely normal and okay. You are making great strides. Don't doubt yourself. Don't second guess yourself. Feel what you're feeling, but deal with it. Find someone to talk to. Find someone you can confide in. Find someone who's going to listen and not just throw advice at you 24/7. These things are important. Realize your grief is unique. Why is it unique? It's unique because you are different from everybody else. Your grief is unique. No one will grieve in exactly the same way as you. And this is where a lot of issues take place, a lot of conflict takes place, because people feel, well, okay, they passed away. Let's move on. And deep down inside, they're not understanding how you are feeling. I went through this with my own father. My daughter was murdered, and I'm grieving. And his words were, she's gone. Let it go. I can't do that. And if you feel that way about your grandchild, it makes me wonder, how do you feel about me? If I passed away, would you just let it go? So nobody grieves the same. Some people do that because they don't want to deal with the pain. They don't want to deal with the hurt. I'm not going to sit here and say it didn't bother my father, but that was his response. That's how he felt. And I can't, you know, I have to move forward. I have to move on. Because my hurt is not his hurt. It was his grandchild, but it was not his child. So I can't expect him to feel the hurt and pain that I feel. Circumstances surrounding death, your emotional support system on your culture and your cultural and religious background. That is all takes part in your grief and how you grieve. Some people in a certain religion may not grieve the way we grieve. They do things differently. Oh, yes, they're hurt. Yes, there's pain, emotional pain. But they celebrate different. They do things differently. Their process is different. We cannot knock that. Respect how somebody grieves. Respect what they're going through and allow them to go through it. As a result of these factors, you will grieve in your own special way. Don't try to compare your experience with that of other people or adopt assumptions about how long your grief should last. There is no time limit on grief. I cannot say this enough. I have people in our group right now, 20 years later, they are still grieving. The fact that you miss that person does not change. The fact that you don't see that person anymore, out of sight, out of mind, is is not true, because it's a loved one. It's someone you cared about. And sometimes it don't have to be someone in the family. It could be someone you're close to outside of the family, but they're not here anymore. Man, we used to play ball together. We used to shoot pool together. We used to go out and eat. We used to hang out. That was my road buddy. We did things together. But now all of a sudden, boom, that's gone. That's changed. That's not happening anymore. Consider taking one day at a time. Approach that allows you to grieve at your own pace. Do not allow anybody to rush you. Do not allow anyone to tell you, stop grieving. It's over with. It's done. They're gone. They're buried. Let it go. It doesn't work that way. And if they are doing that, then you need to separate yourself, because they evidently don't care, or they're not considerate of your feelings and emotions and what you're going through. Expect to feel a multitude of emotions. You're going to be on a roller coaster. Experiencing loss affects your head, heart, and your spirit. So you may experience a variety of emotions as part of your grief work. Confusion, disorganization, fear, guilt, relief, or explosive emotions are just a few of the emotions you may feel. You are going to, my son, it took some time, but in his grief in dealing with losing his sister, he became very angry very quickly. He could go from 0 to 100 in no time. He lost his desire and zeal to progress, to move forward. He was stuck in a place. And even when we tried to get him help, we were running into brick walls. So you have to be there for each other. You have to be there for your family. You have to be able to support. People have gotten a divorce over death. Families have broken up over death. We play the blame game. We want to blame, oh, it's your fault that she passed away. It's your fault that this happened to her. It's your fault that, listen, it happened. But it doesn't mean that the family has to fall apart. Support the one who's grieving. Support the one who's going through these situations so they know that they're not alone. Part of the issue of feeling upset and angry is because you feel like you have no support. Or they may occur simultaneously. In other words, these things, these emotions, these feelings that you're dealing with are going to come all at one time, and you don't know which way to go. You don't want to say anything to hurt anybody. You don't want to do anything to cause a problem, and you end up sitting by yourself. You end up turning away and saying, you know what, I'm going to be alone. This way I don't have to worry about saying anything that I don't really mean. I don't have to worry about doing anything that I don't really mean. I don't have to worry about hurting anybody. As strange as some of these emotions may seem, they are normal and they are healthy. Allow yourself to learn from these feelings. What am I doing wrong? What am I saying wrong? Is it just me? Why am I going through this? And don't be surprised if out of nowhere you suddenly experience surges of grief, even at the most unexpected times. As I just said, out to dinner, dressed up, feeling good, having a good time, laughing and joking, and then boom. Grief says, oh, I'm going to stop by and hang out for a little while. These emotions and feelings are real, and they can come at any time. These grief attacks can be frightening and leave you feeling overwhelmed because you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to get rid of it. You don't know how to work through it because they show up when they get ready. We don't know. They are, however, a natural response to the death of a loved one. Find someone who understands your feelings and will allow you to talk about them. Once again, I don't need nobody that's going to be in my ear when I'm the one that's trying to go through this and talk to you about it. I need you to listen. Be an ear. Hear what I'm saying. Allow for numbness. Feeling dazed or numb when someone dies is often part of your early grief experience. This numbness serves as a valuable purpose. It gives your emotions time to catch up with what your mind has told you. The feelings help you create insulation from the reality of the death until you are more able to tolerate what you don't want to believe. I don't want to believe they're leaving me. I don't want to believe they have gone. I don't want to believe how they died. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to confront it. But guess what? Deal with it. Talk about it. Work through it. It's going to make you a stronger person. Be tolerant of your physical and emotional limitations. Your feeling of loss and sadness will probably leave you fatigued. Your ability to think clearly and make decisions may be impaired. And your low energy level may naturally slow down. Listen, when you are dealing with grief, you're going to lose sleep. You're going to find yourself keeping busy just to get through the day, doing things you've never done before, going places you've never been before, because you don't want to deal with the pain of losing a loved one. It is not easy. My wife has told me over and over again, she said, you're more busy now than before you retired from work, because I don't want to have to sit back and think about my daughter's gone. I know this already. I know the pain. It was 2016. I can tell you the date that I got the phone call. These things just don't go away. Be tolerant of your physical and emotional limits. Find out what your limits are. Find out what, you know, I don't want to go beyond this point. I'm not ready to go to work yet. I'm not ready to go back to church yet. I'm not ready to deal with these things, these emotions. So I need you to take the time to look into yourself. I need you to take the time to really say, what am I ready for? Are they ready for me? Are we ready to handle this and tackle this thing head on? Because grief is painful. Grief is not something to joke with, not something to joke about. Grief can lead to suicide. Grief can lead to divorce. Grief can lead to separation, all the things that you don't want. So I want you to take this time until we come back together again to understand that you are important and you are special. Look out for each other as we look out for yourself and look out for each other. May God bless you. Take care until we meet again. This is Reverend Lee West, A Path to Healing, WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. Tomorrow.